Thanks, bro. Good morning. It's good to have all of you guys here. Open up your Bibles, if you will, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. If you're new to the Hill, I'm going to say welcome, and inside your Sunday bulletin, you'll find what we call a life point outline. And I ask you to open that, pull that out, and let's get ready to get into God's Word. Just want to say welcome to the Hill, to all of you who are watching online or on TV. We're in our last message in the series, The Path to Change. We're going to be talking this morning about enduring the path, enduring it, because that's the way that change really comes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let me just say, did you like these kids up here? Didn't they do a great job? Yeah, they really did. Tremendous amount of energy that got expended here this morning, and I want to encourage you to be back tonight. They're going to do a full program of music and inspiration, and it's going to be just a blast to be here, give us an opportunity to invest in this ministry. This ministry, we have them back every chance we get because they are truly changing lives of kids who are on the edge and need somebody to rescue them and help them. And so Watoto is doing a fantastic job of that, really turning kids' lives around for the Lord. And so I want to invite you, be sure just to come back tonight. Just make every effort. Maybe you can invite somebody to come with you. It's going to be well worth your time, and we'll be talking more about that in the announcements at the end as well. Enduring the path, Hebrews 12, verse 1, the writer says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And how are you going to do that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Now, I want you to notice those challenges, those words in there. Lay aside every encumbrance, everything that trips you up. Put it aside. You've got to do something about that. And run with endurance the race that God has put in front of you. How are you going to do that? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Why? You consider him who has endured. He did that. Why do I want to consider him who has endured? So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You know, America loves the game of football, baseball, basketball. It's almost like if it's got a ball in it, there are millions of Americans who like chase it, you know, and go after it. One of the laws in football, particularly on those of us that are in the bleachers, is this: you cannot judge a game based on the first three quarters. It's the fourth quarter that wins the game. It's the fourth quarter. How's that last quarter played? That's what wins the game. Look at the truth in your outline this morning. In football and in life, it isn't the first half, it is the second half. How we finish that matters. That's what matters. Many of us have been in the race for Christ for years, and that's a good thing. But the thing for us to remember is, it isn't what you've done to now. It is how you finish. What is it like when you come to the end? Why? Because there are many, many of those who started out like us who did not finish well. And that's what God is wanting to speak to you and me about. It is about how we end. You know, the Christian life is like an abstract concept. If you try to explain it, maybe you'd have a little bit of a challenge to explain it to somebody. So the Bible gives us all these examples. Like in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Ephesians 6, the Bible talks about the Christian life as being warfare. And it talks about putting on the armor of a Christian, the armor of God. It talks about that we are soldiers for Christ. And so that analogy is used. Ephesians chapter 6 also talks about the Christian life being like a wrestling match. And Paul says, I don't shadow box. I don't fight as one that beats the air. In other words, he said, this is not a game. He said, it's not like I'm shadow boxing. He said, I'm really seeking to land some punches. This is a real deal. I'm fighting for my life. In Romans, the Christian life is likened to a form of slavery, and that we are bond slaves of Jesus Christ, which means if I'm going to live the life, I have to come to the concept and the understanding it is not about me. It is about me being under orders to somebody else. And my integrity is on the line. In Romans chapter 7, God says the Christian life is like a marriage. And we've been married to the law, but we died to the law, and now we're able to be united and married to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's freedom to remarry, right, if our spouse dies. We're free to remarry. And so our bondage to the old law, to the old way of living, being under that is broken. And now I can begin to live my life based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. But one last thing is, in the book of Hebrews, whoever this writer is, we believe he was absolutely a Jew, but we're not really clear on who it is, but it's definitely the Word of God that has been shown to be so clear through the centuries. The writer of Hebrews refers to the Christian life as a race. God said, only get that concept in your mind. That's how the Lord wants me to see it. And here's the reality, if you look in your life point outline. A lot of people, a lot of Christians begin the life live for Christ race. A lot begin, but few finish well. Yet the emphasis of the Bible is on how we finish. Starting is great. We know the Lord. We come into relationship with Him. But what is the emphasis of the Word? It's not only that we come to faith in Christ, but that we exit this life having done well, right? You don't want the preacher at the funeral to have to lie, right? You know, where the preacher's preaching and somebody leans over and says, am I at the right funeral? This is not the person I know. Who's he talking about? Because that's not them, right? So you don't want that. You don't want them having to, you know, work up some kind of lie to make you look good. You want to end well. Would you say amen to that? Right? Okay. Acts 13:36. I love this passage. You know, I've said before, this is what I'd love for Catherine to be able to put on my tombstone, that she and the boys would believe this. That they could put down, like, David served the purpose of God all his life, and then he died. I want them to be able to say that about me. I want my family to be able to say that about me. That Dad served the purpose of God all his life. All his life. What do I want for my family? I want my family, and I want the Lord not to be lying and say, that I was a perfect man. I know better than that. Everybody knows better than that. But I want them to be able to say, he died like he lived. He did it well. That I exit this place having done well. And I want to tell you what that does. David never lagged in the race that God called him to run. He failed and he fell. Both of those, right? David did that. His is not a stellar record. But the thing that is notable about David, he never walked away. He never quit. He chased the goal of winning. He said, I want to live my life for the honor of God. I want that to be the basis of my life. Yeah, I've blown it some. I've not always scored 100 on my tests of life. But I want it to always be said, he never quit the race. He never dropped out. He was consistent in his walk with the Lord. Look at the insight in your outline. And I'm going to say this several times. It's not like I forget, okay? And I'm like, he's already said that. I know I'm saying it more than once. All right, here's the insight. Many Christians begin the race. Few finish well. Few finish well. And I want to finish well. I want to finish well. And I want you to finish well. How many times have you heard the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. They get going. You know what the truth is? Let's be truthful. When the going gets tough, as the race of life continues, the runners dwindle. A lot of them quit. Is that not true? That's the truth. When the going gets tough, a lot of people drop out. A lot of people quit. Enduring the path, what we're talking about, means we go the distance. Not just today, but all the way to the end when they throw dirt in our face. We have run the race. I don't quit. My goal is to cross the finish line. And I'm not in a race against anybody else. It's my race. I want to run this race. You're not racing against anybody else. It is the race the Lord has put you in. And he says, for as long as you live, that you will bear witness that I am your Lord and your Savior, and that you have fundamentally been changed at your core. You are not who you used to be. Now, there are three rules that I want to give you, probably more, but I want to give you three for finishing the race and hearing Jesus say. What we want to hear the Lord say when we get home is, well done, good and faithful servant. I just want to hear two words, well done. I want to hear him say what? Well done. Let me tell you something. That's what you're after. Don't forget that. That's what you're after. That Jesus would say, well done. And remember, you're not racing against anybody else. This is your race. It's what the Lord has put you in. It is about your calling. It is about your assignment. It is about what God has put you in this world to do during this lifetime. And it is about finishing. It is about staying in the race. It's about when you fall down, you get back up and you go again. It's about when you blow it, you ask forgiveness and you get up and you go again. It is not about quitting. That is not an option. And so, what are the three rules for running? Number one, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And the insight in your outline, the reality that you can't forget about the race of the Christian life is this. The Christian life is every day, all day, holidays, weekends. That's the reality of the Christian life. First one, let us run with endurance the race. Why does I need to run it with endurance? Because it doesn't stop. Once it starts, once I come to faith in Christ, it is until I go home. The sign that I belong to him is that through my whole life, my life bears witness that I'm not the same. I am a different man. You're a different man. You're a different woman. You know, people in Lufkin and in our own faith family here on the hill run marathons. Not me. Well, not that kind. I don't run that kind. They do it, though, for personal challenge. To be the best that they can be health-wise, I admire them so much. They love, I think, to overcome challenges, and so they get in there and they do that. Here's the insight in your outline. It is the very nature of a marathon that it's impossible to win without consistent training and dedication. Nobody wins a marathon who just decides to sign up. You don't do that. You're not going to do that. You will not last. The writer of Hebrews clues us as to why so many people fail in the race that God has put them in at salvation. It is the word endurance. Look back at verse 1. Let us run the race. Do you know what the Greek word for race is? Do you know what it is? Agony. Agony. What word in the English language do you think we get from that one?
Agony.
There you go. Bingo. Agony. That's the Christian life. Join the agony. Can you imagine that on our electronic sign out here on the road coming up and down 58? You want real agony? Try Jesus. That's what we're about here. We want to introduce you to pure agony. Run it for Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. You will not run this race without agony. Here's the insight. Many Christians are losing rewards in heaven because they are fooling around on the race that God has called them to run. And it really is more about where we're seeking to run the race than it is about the race itself. It is about where we're seeking to run it. We're running it down here. And while I'm down here, you and I get hit with hurts. We have our own hang-ups because we're broken people. Would you agree with that? I mean, we're broken. But just, I mean, we just do stuff that we shouldn't do, and other people do too. We run into hard times, and hell is at our door. Hell knows where I live. Does it know where you live? Sure it does. And the reality is this. Here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. The race of the Christian life cannot be run consistently by emotion. It is a marathon, and it can only be run by the will. And we just have to understand that. I cannot live for Christ from the time I'm born again to the time that I come home. I cannot run it by emotion. And if you come here on Sunday morning and you want to get some kind of quiver in your liver, you know that the people up here singing here are just like rousing and getting you all up and getting you all stirred up. Let me tell you something. If you're going for that, you're not going to stay. You're not going to last. Because the Christian life is not run on emotion. Is there emotion involved? Yes. You see, like, the Christian life is kind of like marriage. How many of you are married? Just raise your hand. How many of you are married? All right. Me too. And just like you, you know, there are times when our marriage is so emotional. And it's great. This is why I got married. Then there are days where Catherine, truth be known, would look at me, and if she did, she would just say, John, I love you, I really do, but right now, I don't like you very much. And usually that's because I'm walking in the flesh. The old me is stirred up. And I pretty well am putting my wants ahead of her needs. And when I do that, it is not fun at the Green household. But let me tell you what Catherine doesn't say. Catherine doesn't look me in the face and say, you know what? I'm just not feeling it any longer. Bye. You know why? Because our marriage has emotion in it, but it is not built on emotion. We live our married life by commitment. I'm committed to that woman all my life. One of us will stand at the grave of the other one by the grace of God and commit them to the Lord and to His keeping. Because, you see, that's the way the Lord wants it. I don't know if it'll be me or it'll be her. But that's our goal. We will stand at the grave of the other one because our marriage is built on commitment, not emotion. Has emotion, but that's not how we live it. And that is the same truth for your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. What God says in Hebrews is this. He says, if you are really born again, you are in the race of the Christian life, and you're doing one of two things. You're either right now or you have been just fooling around. And what God is saying is, I want you to run it. I want you to get back in, and I want you to run. It is easy to sit on the fence and watch other people run the race. People come to the hill and they sit on the fence and they sit and listen and sit and listen and sit and listen, and they know what is being said from this pulpit is the truth. What they hear in the worship is true, but they don't get in the race. They don't get in the race because they're afraid to. They don't get in the race because maybe they were in it and then they dropped out of it because it got hard, because maybe church hurt them. Maybe the last church, maybe this church hurt them. No surprise there. That happens. Why? Because this is not heaven. We're not in heaven yet, right? And churches are not perfect, right? Right? Yes. Preach it, preacher. Preach it. People who profess to be born again hurt you. They act like the south end of a northbound mule. They don't behave the way they ought to behave. No surprise there. People don't get in the race because they're afraid of peer pressure. Been there, done that. I got made fun of at work. I've lost friends because I did this before. It got very lonely. I fell and I went back into my old sinful ways. I just don't think that I can do it. God's word for you today. You know what God says in all of your agony? God says, run! Get in the race! Why? Because everything you're going to get in heaven depends on how you run the race. Everything I want to give you in glory depends on how you run the race. God has called you, child of God, to run the race that He has set in front of you. And you run it not by emotion, you run it by your will. You run it by your will. Number two, you have to understand, few people go the distance. And I don't want to be like the few. I don't want you to be like the few who don't make it, who don't do it. Here's the question. How long is the race going to last? The answer, till you die. The race is going to be until you die. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, I have finished the course. I finished the race set before me. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I stayed in the race, and God has told me I'm about to die. I'm going to give my life for Christ. So here's the truth again. Few Christians finish their race. Few finish strong for the Lord. I want to tell you a story. One of the guys that I have admired through the years that had just really was a strong pastor for Christ was Dr. John Bassanio. He pastored First Baptist Church Houston for decades. Dr. Bassanio told the story of when he was dating his wife. In fact, they were already engaged to be married. And he said, I was eating in my fiance, my wife, I was eating in their home, and he said, my father-in-law-to-be was a pastor. And he said, on this one particular occasion, he said, I'll never forget it. He said, we had eaten and everything, and he said, John, I want to spend some time with you. And so they went into another room, and he said, he looked me in the face, and he said, now, John, he said, as you begin ministry, he said, if I can do anything, what I want to do is encourage you to stay true to the Lord. Stay true to Christ. And he said, John, do it all the way to the end. All the way to the end. He said, it's a long way from here to where God wants to take you. And he said, the devil is in no hurry right now to trip you up. He said, however, he will really get serious about tripping you up somewhere along the road. He said, John, please, stay true to the end. Stay in the race. He said, because if there's one thing I've learned in all these years in ministry, it is this. Now, don't you listen to what he said. He said, 1 out of 10 guys goes the distance. Only 1 out of 10. So, John said, I went home that night and he said, that can't be true. 1 out of 10? He said, I don't know. I just don't think that that's right. He said, so I got out my Bible and he said, I turned to the back fly page in the Word of God that I had. And he said, I wrote down the name of 24 men, 24 young guys like me, who were on fire for Christ, who were in the ministry, and who wanted to make a difference for Jesus Christ. 24 names. And then this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, 33 years later, three names are still on the list. Three names. He said 21 had fallen prey to sexual immorality or greed or discouragement, but they weren't in the race for Christ anymore. And I want you to look around. And I know things happen in people's lives, but not everybody's running the race. Not everybody is staying on target. Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Shamus, Amiel, Setur, Nahibi, Geul, Gadi. Recognize any of those names? I thought not. They're very famous men biblically. They were in one of the most famous groups in all the Old Testament. Let me add two more guys to the list, Joshua and Caleb. Now remember them? All right? Those are the guys, those are the 12 spies in Numbers chapter 13 that Moses handpicked to go and search out the land of Canaan and bring back a report. Those 10 guys brought back a bad report. They didn't go the distance. They didn't stay on the track that God had called them to. Only Joshua and Caleb ran the race all the way to the finish line. Those 10 guys lost their lives in the wilderness. God killed them in the wilderness. Why? Because they turned away from God and they turned the hearts of the people around them away from the Lord. Do you know who those guys were? They were the cream of the crop of the Israeli leadership. These guys were handpicked by Moses as men who were worthy to be trusted with a supreme task that the life of the people hung on. These guys, if they were living in today, they would have been in worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if we still did all those. They would have gone door-to-door visitation. They would have been ushering. They would have worked the parking lot. They would have been in security. I mean, these were the top dudes. And they quit the race. And rather than judging them, they are a warning, right? They're a warning. You say, I'm running the race. Yeah, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And that's the thing. It's not over. And it is right here, right now, that you and I need to make a commitment in our soul. We need to do it afresh. If we want to change, if we want to be different and better men and women, then I have to remember the path to change is enduring the path. Enduring the path. And lastly, keep looking only at Jesus. That's how you finish. That's how you endure. Our text says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do you do that? How do you stay in a marathon race until you cross the finish line, until you get home? How do you not get disqualified in the fourth quarter? Why? Because that's where the pressure is really going to come from hell. You've got pressure. And sometimes you look at some people that are gray-haired and are older, and you think, man, life's going to get easier. Au contraire, my friend. No. What did I say? No, that's right. No. Please. Life is wasted on youth. Let me tell you something. When the older you get, the more determined Lucifer becomes to get you out of the race. How many old gray-haired people have you seen? You thought, are you kidding me? Did you take a bottle of stupid pills? You did that? Yeah, you know why? Because Satan is on them. Like white on paper. Why? Get you out of the race. Get you out of the race. Get you out of the race. How do men and women finish strong? You fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. There's only one way I will ever stay in the race. You want one thing only and always. I want to hear Jesus say, John, well done. It won't be, John, you came in ahead of Billy Graham. You came in ahead of John Bassanio. No, I'm in my own race. You're in your own race, right? You're not running against anybody else. It is your race. And the point is, stay in your race until you reach your finish line. Your finish line. You are bearing testimony to Christ. And the point is, you have run the race well when you cross the finish line. And you hear Jesus say, welcome home. Well done. Well done. Don't make the preacher at your funeral lie. You don't want people at your funeral to say, am I at the right funeral? Because who he's talking about is not who I know. Right? Don't make the preacher lie. Let him tell the truth. Tell the truth about what you've been. I grieve every time I look at the obituary in our paper and I read about somebody's life. They were of the Baptist faith. They were of the Methodist faith. They were the You know what that means? It means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It means there was no Presbyterian church, no Methodist church, no Baptist church that could count on them. There was no family of God could count on them to be there, to help do the work, to spread the gospel to a city and a county that's dying and going to hell. Does that make sense? Huh? We're in a race. And we're losing it for the cause of Christ. I just want to make sure nobody wants to have nothing to do with Christ because of me. It is not about my liberty. It's not about, well, I can watch that movie if I want to. I'm free in Christ. It's all right for me to drink if I want to. I can drink all the alcohol I want. I'm free in Christ. It is not about your freedom. It is about your message for Christ. What are you bearing for Christ? What does the world think about your Jesus? That's what is important, right? That's the race. How are you running that race? The only way you do is you fix your eyes on Christ. And remember, I cannot run it by emotion. I have to run it by the will. And there will be times when I bottom out emotionally. Times when I walk through the valley of the shadow. You know what the valley of the shadow? It's not always death. The valley of the shadow is those times in my life and your life when it's just dark. It's hard. It's when the doctor looks you in the eye and maybe says, it's cancer. Or maybe he says some other kind of disease that there's no cure for. And the doctor at the ER turns to you and he says, I'm sorry. Your wife's gone. Your husband's gone. Or you get that phone call no parent wants to get when somebody says on the other end, I'm sorry, this is officer so-and-so, there's been a horrible wreck, and your children were involved. You get that pink slip you weren't expecting. You know, how are you going to make it with your family? You're in the valley of the shadow of whatever, and what do? You fix your eyes on Christ. You look at Jesus. Psalm 123. To you, Father, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. I keep my eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured. Endured. And that means come hell or high water, I stay. I stay in the race. I don't quit. I don't jump ship. I trust him who is always faithful. We live every day to the full with the Lord. What is true is that all of us who know Christ are going to stand before the Lord. We just don't know when. I'm going to stand before him. You're going to stand before him. And there's only one of two ways I can stand in front of the Lord. Only one of two ways. Either with joy or with shame. But we will stand before him. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, and he will appear, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. So I want you to bow your heads for just a minute as we get ready to close. Be real still for just a moment. Let the Holy Spirit work this morning. Be real still. Here's the question. Our Lord despised the shame. He endured the pain. He ran his marathon for me, for you. We are assured of heaven in Christ because we know him. But it is not assured today whether we will meet Jesus Christ with shame or with joy. That depends on how we end the race. How are we going to end? And the only assurance that you will make it to the end of your race is if you keep your eyes fixed on him. We do all we do for him. You don't do it for me. You don't do it for the church. You do it for Christ. Do it for him. Do what you do, beloved, for him. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's going to be looking around. No one's going to be seeing but me. But I want to ask you this morning, if that is your heart, that you would say, Brother John, I want to run the race. I want to make it to the end. I want to hear the Lord say, well done. And I understand what the Word says. And I just want to say, I'm in the race. I'm in. If that's you, quietly, reverently, no head, no lifting up, heads bowed, just stand wherever you are. Just stand right now. I want to stay in the race. I want to run the race. Yes, I want to end well. You're not doing it for anybody because nobody's looking. This is just for between you and the Lord. Father, I want to end well. I do. I want to end well. So, Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the Word. Thank you for the encouragement that we're in a race. If we're breathing, if we're above ground, we're in the race. It's on. We've been running it ever since we came into the family. It is our race. It's the race you've assigned for us. Everything we will get in heaven is based on how we run the race. All the rewards, all the honor, all the well done from Christ our Savior is because we ran the race in front of us. So God, I pray this morning for all of us who are standing. We want to win. Father, we want to win. And may we go in the strength of today for years, decades, that we will not forget today. We'll run the race to hear you say, well done. Yes. Lord, as we leave in a moment, we give our tithe, we give an offering, we give everything we give financially, monetarily, for the sake of the kingdom, so that the church will move forward powerfully to bear witness to you where you've planted us. Bless us with your blessing, Father, your hand on our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated for just a moment, and then you'll be dismissed.